Now, over the last few days, we have been talking about WhatsApp here on this radio station. Many people concerned about the issues regarding data privacy when it comes to particularly WhatsApp. Facebook, the parent company of WhatsApp, issuing notices that they are updating their privacy data collection policies. If you don't agree with them, unfortunately, you're going to be kicked off the platform. A lot of this centers around how WhatsApp is trying to re-platform itself as not just an instant messaging site, but also trying to connect to an online commercial retail market. If you know and you are aware of the platform Weibo, it's extensively used in China. Heck, it's not just a place to, you know, tell your friend you're 5 minutes late and you're on your way. It's also a way to pay for your utilities, buy airtime, data, maybe even deal some of the bureaucracy that you need to get through your daily life. That, I think, that many, particularly online platforms, are trying to move to. And from what I read, Facebook, WhatsApp are trying to do something similar. That's why Andrew Bourne is the regional manager for Zoho Corporation, joins me now on trying to unpack some of the very legitimate consternation that people have regarding social data, social media data privacy. Andrew, thanks so much for coming on air with us. Let's start with WhatsApp and the people's mass migration to other platforms, almost being scared about it. You know, data privacy is a really, really important issue, but it's a storm in a teacup.
Well, I think, you know, this mass hysteria, as people have put it, has done one good thing. I think it's just created more awareness around data privacy. And I think it's very important that people are more aware of what data that they're feeding these technology companies, and also what those technology companies are actually doing with their personal data. Obviously, a company like WhatsApp, it's a free platform, so they have to make money in some way. So from the likes of WhatsApp and Facebook, then they sell the data that they collect in order to generate revenue. So I think the awareness has been good, but I think the hysteria and the worry is a little bit unfounded, because I think WhatsApp have been very clear as to what data they are collecting. I think the one thing to worry about, or to be concerned about, or to bear in mind, is what sort of security do they have in place when they store your data? We already know they're not going to look at your messages. They're not going to go and see that you're messaging your friend about going to lunch somewhere. So it's going to be basically your phone number. It's going to be your status. They're going to link it together with Facebook. Already you can, you know, on Facebook Marketplace, you can WhatsApp the person selling an item. I know that WhatsApp are introducing WhatsApp Pay in some countries. So I think, yeah, you know, just to take it back, the awareness has been great from the hysteria, but I think at the moment, you know, WhatsApp are being quite good with how they're using the data. We just need to make sure that that data stays secure.
A friend of mine discussing over the weekend regarding this, he is a very strong proponent of open source instant messaging software. We had this discussion of, and use the analogy of a bus, and telling people on the bus that the bus is burning and it's time to get off this particular bus. And then this bus is, you use the, that is an example for WhatsApp and Facebook as a conglomerate. And my argument was, well, if you want to get off the bus, then get off the bus altogether. You can't be 1 foot on the bus and 1 foot off. If you want to be completely open or completely protected in your online, you know, privacy, because in the way that the algorithms work, in the way that customized services come to you, you have to be connected in some way or the other. There is a trade exchange that happens. If I order from a food delivery service, I want to know how far that driver is before he drops my meal. But in order to do so, I need to give access to that application to know where my exact GPS positioning is.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, the other things that people kind of forget is that some of this tracking actually makes it easier for them. For one example is Netflix. Netflix will see the type of movies that you're watching, and they will recommend the movies or series based on what you've watched in the past. So those type of things, I think, are great. But it's more around when they get your data, where do they store it, and is that secure? Mm. So it's more about the security of your data and who they pass it on to. Mm. So, I mean, adjunct surveillance has been a term that we've been speaking about, and that is basically surveillance without the customer knowing. Mm. And we did some research in America and Canada, and we found out that 62% of businesses just don't inform the customer that they have these tracking codes on their website.
And those are sort of third parties. They're not necessarily the business or the entity that you are directly in conversation with, or which application you're using. It's a third party somewhat connected to that.
Correct. So if you go to a website that is maybe selling bras and it's, sabras.com, and all of a sudden you click out of that website, and now you're going to go to another website, and all of a sudden down the side you see this advert for a bra from sabras.com. Now it's already known, Google have known that you have now gone onto the SA Bra website. It's now going to remarket to you on other websites. And so that's kind of how some of the tracking codes work with regards to remarketing. And I think that kind of stuff is not too invasive. But again, if they're going to be storing your habits, especially if it's payment habits, I think going forward, we just need to be mindful of how these changes for these privacy policies happen. And for businesses, I think it is very important going forward that you be transparent, you have clear-cut privacy policies, you also have maybe notes to your privacy policy. Your privacy policy can contain a lot of legal jargon, but to be very clear cut as to the information that you do take from your customers, because customers are going to be watching this going forward. And the next generation is Generation Z. They will have the biggest consumer buying power. And research has shown is they take trust so seriously. So if a company breaks trust with your Generation Z, you could definitely lose that business, and there could be a knock-on effect, with their influence over their network, with their experience. So it's very important that companies going forward also make sure that they have business technology that is focused on security. So if you're using a free business technology app and you're saving all your customers' info into that application, you need to understand that it's free, but you're going to be paying for it in some way, whether it's your the way you use the software, the data you collect, and so forth.
It leads one to question, who is then ultimately there to protect the consumer, the end user? We use applications on our phone that are out of the jurisdiction of this particular country. I regularly use an e-hailing app that has an office here in South Africa, but they ultimately registered in Estonia. We have the Protection of Personal Information Act that is in place, but how is the jurisdiction for South African legislation to enforce or to act on a business in another country where many of us don't even know where these online apps and websites are registered? Does it have the bite to enforce our laws in companies that are registered in other countries?
Well, I think, we've been looking at Poppy quite closely, and I think it's a very good piece of legislature. And I think it's July the 1st where all companies need to be compliant. And I think it's just important that companies the technology that they're using are Poppy compliant and also GDPR compliant, because Poppy actually states that the data needs to be stored in a jurisdiction that has equal to or better than privacy laws. And so I think there does need to be more of a conversation around if the data is abused offshore, then what are the I suppose, legal ramifications. But if it's a company in South Africa, I mean, the fines can be up to 10 million rand or a jail sentence for up to 10 years. So they're going to make an example out of someone if there's a big data breach.
I guess it's going to have to take some sort of multilateral, even sort of geopolitical grouping to say, this is what we are doing. Look, if you live in the European Union, you are governed by European EU law. And a lot of tech companies are worried about infringing on EU law, particularly when it comes to what they do with your data and how they adhere to data regulation. But us as little wee old South Africa, if we are complaining against, for example, an international tech company where there's little or no jurisdiction for them to adhere to, it's going to take maybe some multilateral organizing to say that we are not just one country, we are a group of countries, and we are not going to be we're not going to have our citizens' data privacy being taken for granted.
Yeah, I definitely think that needs to be addressed, because the GDPR law says that you need to manage European Union data of the people from Europe, no matter where you are in the world. So there's no jurisdiction of where the data is kept. If you're in South Africa and you, let's say, do business with someone from Europe, you then have to comply with GDPR. So there's no boundaries of where you deal with people from the European Union. So another thing for South Africans to make sure is that the systems and the software that they're using is GDPR compliant, because we have a lot of people from Europe. I mean, I think Europe is one of our biggest trade partners. So and as we know, we've got a huge tourism hub. So people are always coming from Europe to do business in South Africa. Mm. So it is very important that we comply with GDPR as well as Poppy.
We're speaking to Andrew Bourne. He's the regional manager for Africa at Zoho Corporation. They deal with cloud software and also application data, also data privacy. I am very, very interested to know in how many businesses, particularly small businesses, are using applications like WhatsApp as a means to not only interact with clients, but also using it as a selling platform. Many companies now have WhatsApp business accounts. Just how do we ensure, and how do you gain the trust of your client, of your customer, if you are a small business and they're worried, and rightfully so, what this WhatsApp hysteria has caused? It has caused a lot of focus on our data privacy. How do you allay the fears as a small business using IAM services, using it as business platforms? How do you allay their fears? How do you ensure their data privacy?
So first and foremost, let's take WhatsApp as an example, WhatsApp for Business. I mean, I think they've got more than 50 million businesses on that platform now. And I think for South African small business, we need to understand that, yes, the data is encrypted, but there are many people within your organization that will have visibility of the communication with your customer. And you also might have your WhatsApp business integrated into your technology. I know, for instance, we integrate WhatsApp into our Zoho CRM system, so we can actually keep a history of all the communication with a customer. Now, the system that you're keeping those messages in, first of all, it needs to have high levels of encryption and security. You need to have a very clear privacy policy. Your staff need to have two-factor authentication when they log into your business technology. Okay, and that technology, it's not free. I mean, Zoho is incredibly affordable, but it's we have free versions of our software, which we don't have adverts and we don't do any of this adjunct surveillance. But there are other products out there that are free, and you're going to be keeping your customers' WhatsApp information, or at least your communication with your customer, on these platforms. And that's where there might be a bit of a problem. You need to make sure that you're using software that is highly secure. And then on your own website, be upfront with people. As I said, the next generation, or even the current generation, they want to know what data you're keeping of them. They want to know you have the security in place. You can even tell them that all your staff have to log in with two-factor authentication, which makes even more secure your data. And I think going forward, the businesses that want to stay ahead, of their competitors, they need to have all of that in place.
I think it's absolutely fascinating. Many people, there's the myth that Google, for example, listens to your conversations and that's how they know how to advertise to you. And that's not the case. The algorithms know what to direct to you is because you checked today's temperature on the Google weather app on your Android phone. The weather said it was 34 degrees. You then typed kushushu, yo, it's hot, on your social media. And then you went to, because your location's on, you at Canal Walk, and you were close to, for example, Macro. And because of your history of online purchases, they kind of assess that you are in the LSM that could be in the market for air conditioning. And just because you maybe have been talking about it a few days ago doesn't necessarily mean that online platforms are listening to your conversation. They know exactly what you are doing, and the likelihood of you, for example, wanting an air conditioner in 34 degree heat is then quite likely, and that's why they're pushing ads like that to you.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, I've had instances where I've had conversations with someone, and I track the adverts that get pushed to me on social media quite seriously, because we as a company advertise, and I keep watching the competitors and see what gets fed to me. And we were having a conversation about, studying and education and MBAs, and all of a sudden that afternoon I went on my phone and I was getting fed adverts for studying MBA. And it wasn't a standardized advert, that does get pushed. But as you said, it could be a complete coincidence. If I think back, it could have been maybe a week or 2 weeks before where I actually was Googling education. And then it could have maybe then only pushed it to me at that point in time. So you're never really sure. I think the most important thing is to read these privacy policies that these companies have, and people are going to get very frustrated if it's in really legal jargon. Mm. So it's good to put out infographics or notes so that I know WhatsApp have just done it now because everyone was so worried, and they've made now an infographic that says we will not read your messages, just to make sure that they can, the rumors, they can be transparent and tell people that these rumors are not true.
Andrew, a lot of people are quite keen on this conversation. Let's go to one or two voice notes. Let's hear what some of our listeners are talking or asking about.
Does WhatsApp, Facebook, or all the intermediates use any of the data like photos, or do they use data text or voice? Please elaborate on that.
Andrew?
Yeah, so there's certain things like facial recognition. So a lot of you will know Facebook has probably asked you in the past, if we find a photo that might be you, can we notify you? Mm. Right? And you accept that and you say yes. Right? Now Facebook has got your acceptance that they can now go and use facial recognition to identify you. Now, whether they only use it specifically for that, or are they maybe using it somewhere else, you have to go back to their privacy policies and find out exactly. I mean, it's a long document, and a lot of us don't read it. But I think if you search, you'll see there are companies that go into deep, they dive down deep into these new policies, and they bring out the exact things that they will track you on. I know at one stage everyone was talking about how Facebook Messenger was asking for access to your microphone, and it was a bit vague as to were they going to access it on voice notes, or were they going to access how much you use it, or were they actually just going to listen into your conversations. So you would have to, go down deep into those privacy, and they're changing them quite frequently. I mean, WhatsApp have just changed their privacy policy because of the WhatsApp Pay that's being rolled out.
Andrew, it's unlikely we are going to be stopping this train. The move will be from IM platforms, instant messaging platforms, that will move to e-commerce sites. It's very difficult to stop this march of progress. I think what is important is that we lobby for the protections, the legislative and regulatory protections of consumers and customers and citizens. When we start opening up more and more to e-commerce, particularly integrating instant messaging services and social media.
No, I completely agree with you. And transparency is the key. Companies need to tell people exactly what they're doing. And yes, it'll take time and it's a lot of investment. But if you're not doing it, your competitors are going to do it. And the consumer and the future consumer definitely is going to see value in that.
Andrew Bourne is the regional manager for Africa at Zoho Corporation. Thanks so much for joining us on Today with Me, Lester Kivett.